Well, have you ever found yourself just super, super excited about something? You know, like the present that you know is coming, but you can't have it yet? You know what I'm talking about? My wife and I have this little thing that, you know, I don't know why she does it, but she'll tell me when she's gotten me something. Maybe it's a Christmas present or birthday present or something. And she tells me in advance, oh, I got your thing today, you know. And I'm like, what is it? And she's like, well, it's not your birthday or it's not Christmas or whatever. And I'll say, well, just tell me what it is. You don't have to give it to me. And, you know, we play this little thing and it just wears her out. Because, like, you know, every time, you know, I'll just keep bringing it up. So when are you going to give that to me? When do I get to see it? When do I get to use it? What is it? And then I start the guessing game. Is it something you use? Is it a tool? Is it a car part? Is it a video game? What is it? I don't know. And so I just keep going on and on and on because, and truthfully, part of that is just because I enjoy picking at her. But you know, the other part of it is that when we know that we're getting something, a lot of times we find ourselves just ready for it. To the point that we are just standing there, just on the edge, just can't wait to get it. And it's all we can think about, and it starts to consume us. Whereas a passage of scripture in the book of Thessalonians, where we see Paul talking to a group of Christians at Thessalonica, and they are just ready for something. They've been ready for something to the point that they're almost kind of just becoming useless people, if you know what I mean. And Paul just kind of has to start speaking to them, and you can check out a lot of it in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. But Paul is basically looking at them, and they're excited about this one thing. They're excited about Jesus coming back. And they're so excited about Jesus coming back that that's all they talk about. It's all they study about. It's all they think about. They're mapping it out. You've met some of these people. It's the people that live for the book of Revelation. And it's a good book, but it's part of a better book altogether. And you know, it's those folks that just basically camp on nothing but end times. And I'm not saying don't study end times. Please do study end times. You'll find out there's a whole lot of different things that you could believe in. And the Bible's very unclear about some of it. It's tough to figure a lot of it out. And it's like, you know, you got 10 horses and 15 doves and, you know, these dragons. And, you know, it's all this stuff and fire-breathing whatevers. And, you know, and it's just a mess of stuff to try to get through. But these folks were just so excited about Christ coming back that they were beginning to be useless as a part of the body of believers. And, you know, I think we all get that way about different things in life, but Paul just kind of writes to them and says, guys, hey, it's a good thing that you're concerned, that you're so excited about the fact that Christ is coming and that you're wanting to study and do that, but don't let it consume you. In fact, Paul goes on in this passage of scripture and he says, check it out, listen, you got to take that excitement, you got to take that hope, and you got to channel that hope into being something useful for the kingdom of God. Well, that's something useful. Starts out with this verse right here, and it says in verse 11 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, he's writing to a group of people that had been doing this and presently were doing this, and he's giving them a warning, basically. He's saying, look, I know you're excited about this. I know this is a good thing. I know there's a lot going on, but look, in the middle of all this, don't forget to keep doing this thing that is so important. He's warning them. Instead of waiting for something to go completely wrong and world to come crashing down of this church and this body of believers, he's saying, hey, stop for just a second and remember how important this is and don't forget to do it. And how important is this? This encouraging. If you've got your Bible, verse 11 right there, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. And I just got to tell you, I think this is one of those things that maybe we don't talk enough about. And I have a lot of people that come to me, and some of you are here today, that come to me and say, you know, the reason I love 24 Church, and we even saw this on the video that we saw last week about our parking and greeting ministry, which is what this is all about. You know, I have a lot of people come to me and say, Chris, I love 24 Church because I feel at home. People talk to me. They try to make me feel at home. They try not to, you know, it doesn't matter what I wear. It doesn't matter, you know, how I talk or, you know, whatever. I can just be me. And it's so great to hear, but I also know that at the same time, while we are doing a good job sometimes of doing that, at the same time, I feel like we can always do better as a body of believers, because this is not a pastoral decree that Paul is writing here. He's not saying, now to you that are the called, to you that are the ministers of the church, the ones that have been given the leadership of an elder or something. You know, that's not who he does not say that here. He is basically throwing this out to the church at Thessalonica and saying, look, this is so important for you to get this. And this is such a huge part of being a part of the body of believers. And what happens to so many of us that work in the ministry, and we're going to go on, we're going to read a little more about this, because I'm not talking about pastors here. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about all of us who are all called to serve in some way, and that is every one of us. If you know Christ, you're called to serve. If you didn't know that, you should really check into that, because your status in growing as a Christian, your growth pattern is going to stumble a lot when you just don't do anything. But in this passage of scripture, when we see Paul saying, keep encouraging one another, he is crying out. He is saying, this is so important for us to continue on. This is so important for you guys to make it. You need people around you that can encourage you. And likewise, you need to be encouraging everyone around you. And that's just something that's on us today that I think is so much easier than we make it out to be. Isn't it? Because, you know, when I encourage somebody, and I'm not talking about fake encouragement. I hate fake encouragement. And I use the word hate there, and I don't use it a lot, but I just despise it. I despise fake encouragement. I despise fake, you know, oh, you did a great job today, you know, or any of that kind of, I don't want to hear it. I want people to be straight up with me. I want people to tell me what's really going on. I want people to quit putting on the fake face, not, hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing great. And I look at it and I'm like, you're not doing great. You're lying to me. I love you. You quit lying to me. I want to care for you and encourage you. You know what I'm talking about? And so one of the things that we've got to get in this passage of scripture gets into this a little bit more, but we've got to like go further into just actually checking on people. Do you care about people? Because one of the great things that happens, and we make this so hard and we make it such a big deal, and it's not a big deal, because when I get to encourage somebody from my heart, I'm not great at this. I have to work at this just like everybody else. But recently I encouraged somebody and I told them just really, you know, my heart for them and for their family. And I just thanked them for all the stuff that they did. And I could just see the emotion coming up in this person that I love so much. And it was just so awesome to get to be there in that moment and just kind of be like, man, thank you so much. I know I don't say that enough, but just thank you for what you mean to me and my family. Thank you for what you mean to our church. And you know what? For a moment, I kind of thought to myself, you know what? I think I'm getting more out of this than maybe even they are, and they're getting emotional. But just how good is it to be a part of a body of believers where we are constantly encouraging one another? Because, you know, we live in a world that basically is full of this. It's full of the finger, all right? Now, this is what I'm calling the finger today, and I hope you're cool with that, because I'm going to use it at you a lot today. And I'm giving you permission to begin using the finger as you need to. This finger, it's your index finger. For those of you listening on podcast, people in Portugal will be thinking I'm flipping you off right now. And really, this is what this means. This is a negative sign, okay? I'm sure it means something else, you know, in, you know, sign language or whatever, but I don't know what that is. And so today it means, you know, negative sign. That was not good. And so we got the negative sign going on. And basically, through life, and even in our homes, and at our work, and on the road, we just constantly keep coming into contact with this, the finger. And so I just want to start encouraging you. I'm encouraging you. See that? I'm doing what we're talking about. I'm encouraging you to begin using the finger around people that know what that means. And so when they start to be negative at you, maybe this is going to be great for husbands and wives. I'm just really feeling this. Is that, you know, when they start getting all negative on you, I want you, you know, and there's times, you know, to talk about things, and you don't have to be like super, like overbearing negative. But, you know, if they're getting like mega negative and out of control, I want you just to give them the finger, all right? And you just give them the finger, and if it makes you feel good to give somebody the finger in traffic and just be like, you're being negative, that's fine too, okay? But here's the deal. It doesn't mean anything else. It's not like I'm mad at you. It's not that, okay? This is the negative finger, and it means you're being negative. You need to back down. We need to encourage each other, and we need to all chill out. And you know, I think that we've let ourselves be inundated by this world. That we've quit encouraging people. We just quit. We quit encouraging the people we go to church with. We quit encouraging people in our own home. I'm guilty of this. My wife does so much for our family. And so many times it just kind of hits me at times where I go, you know what, I'm not thanking her enough. I'm not saying I love you enough. We need to be encouraged. And I know that a lot of you are probably sitting here right now and you're going, you know what, I really need to be encouraged. And you probably do. You probably do. We got some crazy stuff going on with some families right now in our church. I mean, stuff that's like out of their control. It's just happening to them. I mean, big, heavy, honking stuff. And in the midst of all that, you know, they're surrounded by negativity. And, you know, they really need some encouragement. And you know what? The thing that I have learned, that when I need encouragement, is that when I begin to encourage others, I get encouraged. And you see, that's ministry. That we see that all through Christ's ministry. How much did Christ get encouraged? How much do we see Jesus going, what's up, Jesus? You did a good job with that. Man, that was good stuff. We don't see any scripture that really is like giving Jesus high fives, or, you know, that there's like Jesus cheerleaders on the sidelines or anything else. No, he's got a bunch of, you know, this around him most of the time. And in the midst of having, you know, a bunch of that around him, he's still, what's he do? He's loving on people. He's just loving on people and just being real with people. And, you know, sometimes being real, you know, means talking about things you don't want to talk about. And sometimes it's just, I just want to encourage you in this way, you're doing a good thing. And we see Paul doing a lot of this. We see there's a guy, if you want to just check out, you know, something to just create a Bible study for yourself this week, just go look up all the passages of scripture on a guy named Barnabas. You surely can't forget Barnabas, the name Barnabas. I dare someone to name their child that. Although I do know somebody that named their child that. But seriously, look up Barnabas. He is known in scripture as the encourager. And I just think, man, what a legacy to leave behind, that you would be known for nothing but encouraging people. Barnabas wasn't without his faults, and we see things, you know, he messes up, you know, but you know what? He was encouraging people, and he was at least giving it a shot. He was at least trying. And I'm super aware that our lives are busy, and, you know, my life is busy, and it's tough for me a lot of times just to constantly be thinking about, man, who do I need to be encouraging today? Or how do I need to be encouraging that person? Or I haven't talked to that person in a while, and I really need to just touch base with them and just check on them and really see. In fact, in this passage of scripture, it goes on right here after verse 11, after he says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He says in verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. And right there in that verse, just kind of clarify that, you know, he is kind of talking about, you know, pastoral leadership and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think he's going further here. And if you really study this passage of scripture and break down the Greek and all that stuff, and I've done quite a bit of studying on this deal, you know, basically he's just saying for those that, you know, have given their heart over to ministry, most people that are working hard for the kingdom of God, you should really encourage them. And you got a bunch of people in your life that probably do that. We got a bunch of people at our church that do that. And I'm not trying to, make you feel guilty or anything, but man, when was the last time that you just said, thank you for doing what you do? We have so many people do so many different things. I mean, we have kids workers right now that are not in here because they are in there taking care of my child and some of your children. We got people that do things behind the scenes that we never see. There's guys that pull these trailers up here. There's nobody waiting at the school for them to be like, hey, thanks for pulling the trailer up here today. You did a good job with that. No. Now, about the only time they ever hear anything about the trailers is like if they didn't back it up far enough, or if they, got too close to the wall, or, they curbed the wheel, or, something crazy, and stuff happens. And we just lose sight of the importance of just saying thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for being a part of the kingdom of God. And you see, every piece of this is so huge. And truth be known, many of you are sitting here today and you're going, you know what, I'm not really doing anything. Maybe I need to be serving. And I'm just going to encourage you today with this. Serve. Find something and serve. Just find something that you love to do. Find something. You may try a few things because you may be like, I don't think I love any of those things. Just try something. See what God could do through you. In this passage of scripture, it goes further right here, and it says in verse 13, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Once again, talking about these folks we've just been talking about. Live in peace with each other. Live in peace with each other. That's a big deal, isn't it? Live in peace with each other. And I think that's one of those things that we've got to understand as a body of believers. And if you're going to be a part of this church, then if you're going to stay with us, then you need to be about protecting that. That we've got to do that together. That's got to be something that we collectively as a crew are here saying today, you know what, we're going to fight for peace to be a part of this. We want peace. You say, Chris, why is that so important? It's so important because there's a world out there looking in on us, watching us say that we are following Christ. And yet, sometimes we'll just be like, and I have people talk to me all the time about their old churches and stuff. And I've got old church stories too that are like, terrible, ridiculous stories. And, but I think sometimes we just get so caught up in wanting to just talk about that we forget that we're losing sight of something like keeping peace. And it just creates ripples, and maybe not in our life, but maybe in somebody else's life that's listening to us talk negatively about, some church experience we had, and Lord knows we've all had those. But, it's important for us to focus in and go, you know what? God is doing great things in my life. How real is God in our life if we don't talk about what God is doing in our life? Because if we have a relationship with him, like we have a relationship with other people, and we love to talk about the relationships we have with other people, then, we would be all about talking about our relationship with God. That's keeping peace. You go on in this passage of scripture, verse 14, and it says, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And I just got to tell you right here that this is some scripture right here that I think we need to camp out on for just a second here. And this is, last night I was hanging out and I'd done a wedding. And at the wedding, we sat down with this couple, never met them before. We just gotten to know them at the wedding last night after the actual ceremony and stuff. And there was a little reception time, and they had little tables and stuff set up, and we were just kind of hanging out. And he said, hey, why don't you guys come over and sit with us? So me and Aaron and Gracie went over, and so we sat with this couple. We just get to talking to them. And they've been out of church for a little while, but they're believers, and they know the Lord. And we kind of, established that and got to talking about that. And they got to talking about, their desire to get back into church and all this stuff. And one of the things that, she just, was like, I said something about, well, we got to get to heading home here in just a little while. I need to get back to studying. And she's like, oh, what are you studying for? I was like, well, I'm studying for the message tomorrow. And she was like, oh, well, what are you speaking on? She said, "Do you know?" And I was like, "Yeah, I know what I'm speaking on." And she's like, "Oh, okay, well, tell me." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm talking about encouragement, and it's, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5 and blah, blah, blah." And so just in there, she just blurted out. She just said, "How do you encourage somebody that doesn't want to be encouraged? How do you encourage somebody that won't tell you what's going on?" And I said, well, it's funny because this passage of scripture that I'm talking about tomorrow actually talks to this just a little bit. And in verse 14, where he's saying, "And we urge you." And this is like Paul and his buddies, and they're hanging out, and these guys are, you know, traveling missionaries, basically. And he's saying, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak." And in looking at this passage of scripture, you know, we see a couple of things. We see, you know, warn those who are idle. And you know, I kind of tried to do that just a second ago and just saying, hey, you know, if you're not involved in serving something, if you're being idle and, you know, whatever, give it a shot. Get involved. Do something. Grow in your relationship with Christ. More importantly than anything, to me, to my staff, to our church, whatever, is that each and every person is growing in a relationship with Christ. And we tell people that volunteer all the time, listen, if you need to step down from doing that because that has gotten in the way of you growing in your relationship with Christ, then we are about you doing that. We don't want you to be doing something and not growing in the Lord. More importantly than anything is that we are growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then right after this, it says, encourage the timid, help the weak. And right there, that's where we've got to do a little work. We've got to recognize people in our life that God has placed around us that are maybe a little timid. Maybe they're shy. Maybe they've been burned bad. But something's going on and something's keeping them from really serving the Lord. Something's keeping them from being active in a body of believers. And it may be you today, it may not be, but you probably know somebody that's like that. And you say, well, Chris, you know, they just don't want to talk to me. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you just need to just really try hard. And sometimes people will just, you know, they're going to completely shrug you off and they don't want to talk to you and they'll say everything's fine and they'll lie to you and, you know, that's fine. But it's really not fine. Because what's really happening is that they're hurting and they just don't want to open up to you. And it may be something that they feel like is gossipy or something like that, and that's understandable. But you just ask questions. You say, if it's something that you feel like is gossipy, that's cool. I just want to know how to pray for you. I just want to know how to encourage you. Because we all need that. We all need that. Goes on, says, help the weak. And we should be about that. We should be about finding people and the radar be on that when somebody is showing up on the scene and maybe they're not as strong in their faith as we are. Maybe they're struggling through life right now. Maybe they're just flat, broken down, weak. And we just need to be ready to minister to them. And you know what? And I'm as guilty as anybody of this. But, you know, and especially as a pastor, as a minister, I deal with quite a few people that sometimes are in those situations. Some of those people, if you let them, will absolutely drain you of your life. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And I think everybody understands what I mean by that. But it's one of those things that even still, we have to be up for the challenge of encouraging those people to persevere, to go on, to keep growing in their relationship with the Lord. Encourage one another. And build each other up. It goes on in this passage, right after it says, be patient with everyone. Another translation says, be patient with them all. And again, you know, there's plenty of people that will test our patience. And the truth be known is that this is not just talking about just our brothers and sisters that we go to church with. This is just talking about everybody. And truth be known, we've got some people in our lives right now that we're having a hard time being patient with them. Maybe a boss, maybe a coworker, maybe a family member. Maybe somebody really close to us and they've hurt us really bad. But in the midst of this, God is saying, be patient with everyone. And it's so important for us to cling to that and to take that and go, you know what? I got to do that with them. I got to be patient with them so that I can encourage them. And as this is going on, basically Paul has given us a map for how to encourage people. You know, in fact, this passage of scripture is kind of broken up here, and a lot of people probably wouldn't put these two passages together, but truthfully, this is all written in one fluid thing here. And as he is getting done saying, encourage people, he's turning around and giving us the map of how to go about doing that. And in verse 15, he says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That's why you can't use this finger for anything but you're being negative, okay? Calm down. We're not supposed to pay back wrong for wrong. And I know that we love revenge. I know that we're big fans of it at times. But it's not okay. It's not okay. God has called us to something much better. And in fact, the call of something much better is a call that's one of those things that if we're going to try to live as Christians, we've got to understand and we've got to get. Thank you for that. You want to, can you, think you can make something out of that in there? You know how that goes? Okay, go for it. I'm going to let you have it. If we're going to make something out of our relationship with God, with other people, and let the love that God has shown us kind of pour out into other folks, and that's so important for us as Christians, and we see that, see Christ doing that throughout his entire ministry, I think it's one of those things that we've got to be willing to do a little bit of work. And that little bit of work is, you know, kind of something right here. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and just use this like it is, if that's okay with you. What I have here is the Jumbling Tower. The Jumbling Tower can just be AKA for the generic Jenga, all right? Because this is the cheap Jenga. It's probably like a buck or something. I don't know. But the Jumbling Tower, generic Jenga, really the only difference between Jumbling Tower and generic Jenga is like, if you notice, like the blocks are not like, you know, they don't fit like one, you know, perfect square, and they're not like really sanded down. You can like get splinters playing with this one. But this is Jumbling Tower, generic Jenga. You got that? You want to try to put it on there? You can put it on there if you got it. Thank you so much for your help. She's doing great, isn't she? Thank you so much. One of the things about encouraging people and living the life that Christ has called us to live is that we've got to be willing to do a little work. She's doing a little work for us today to put this thing back together. And in doing a little bit of work, we've got to understand the importance of building. You see, in this passage of scripture that we're seeing, where it is saying, encourage each other by building one another up, the same Greek word that is being used here for building literally means to construct. It is the same exact word that we see used throughout scripture where they are talking about building this thing or constructing that thing. It's the same exact thing. Thank you so much. And, you know, it takes work to build. She didn't have to come up here and do that. She didn't have to, you know, spend time doing that, but she did. And that's an encouragement to me. You know, and I think that really what this represents for me today and what I hope that it can represent for you is that it's just easy sometimes to just leave it alone. It's just easy just to leave it alone. It's nice and it's got all of the, you know, blocks in place and, you know, hey, we don't have to, you know, go messing it up or anything. We don't have to, you know, get to, you know, picking, you know, through somebody's life and, you know, really finding what's going on. We don't have to create more issues for us, do we? But you see, part of being a believer, part of understanding that, you know, we've been called, no, I'm doing this wrong. Part of being called to serve is part of us understanding that we've got to get our hands dirty. And sometimes it gets nasty, and I'm just going to tell you that. Sometimes you're going to ask somebody how they are really doing after you've already asked them how they're doing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you ask them how they're doing, like, oh, I'm doing fine. And you go, no, 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 no. How are you really doing? I want you to really tell me how you're doing, because I just want to encourage you and I want to pray for you. And how can I be praying for you? Is there something up going on in your life? You seem a little this. You're a little bit timid. You're a little bit kind of back from I know where you used to be. You were growing in the Lord at one time and I could see it. I'm kind of not seeing as much right now. What's going on? And I'm telling you, when we open ourselves up like that, you never know what's coming. And you got to be ready to get your hands dirty. You got to be ready to do a little bit of constructing, because I'm just telling you, people in our world need to be built up. And part of building up is hard work. And so this morning, I want to just tell you this. As I was reading through the scripture this week, it just came all over me that we as a church have got to actively be encouraging one another to the point that next weekend, I want you to be ready to come. We're going to do something a little bit different next weekend. Next weekend's our last service in here. But next weekend, I want you to be ready to take some action. And I'm not going to tell you really anything more than that, other than that we're going to encourage next weekend. And it's going to be a special service, and I really hope that you don't miss next weekend. Last service in here, kind of emotional probably for some of us. But next weekend, we're going to be about building each other up and building up the body of believers. So this morning, I want us just to pray, and I want us just to kind of, through this week, ask God to prepare our hearts for what we're going to do next weekend, okay? Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for your word and for how it just speaks so plainly. And God, sometimes we forget that it's a map. We forget that it's a letter, that it's something written to us so that we can see your heart. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be about building each other up, that we would encourage one another, that we would love on one another. God, sometimes that means getting our hands dirty, but God, that's okay. Because God, the outcome of that is such a great thing. When we are acting as you have called us to do, God, it is just unbelievable. And God, I pray that our church as a whole, God, could be an encouraging church. God, not just a church that makes people feel welcome when they get here, but God, a church that is just constantly encouraging one another. And God, that means coming out of some of our comfort zones. That means talking to people for real that we shake hands with and we give hugs to from week to week, but we really don't know what's going on with them. It means, God, just kind of getting dirty. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us in that. Next weekend, God, I just pray right now even for that service and this week, God, as you just kind of maybe marinate in our hearts, God, how you want us to be encouragers, God, that you would just kind of show us that in next weekend. Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done for us. For allowing us to worship you is just an incredible thing. God, may you be glorified. In your name I pray, amen.